Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So good to be with you.
It doesn't feel like a Tuesday, right?
It doesn't. Well, we're right into the mix of minicamp, so obviously it seems like the middle of the week, seems like we're in the heart of the offseason, but nonetheless, minicamp will start today. They'll practice a little bit later today, so we'll get into all of that. We'll get your phone calls at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. She is Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you. So a lot to delve into in terms of storylines regarding minicamp. A few players were injured during the course of OTAs. Obviously, we won't know anything during the course of this show because they're not going to get on the practice field until just after 2 p.m. Eastern today, and that's when we'll get an idea on who's going to work out today.
Yeah, just to give you an idea in regard to the schedule for this afternoon, it started maybe about 10 minutes ago from 11:50 to 12:30. Defensive coaches, defensive coordinators available to the media. So and I know, I believe, is it Paul DiTino who's going to kind of call in
Paul
a little bit later?
Chat with us
so
later.
So obviously all that is happening right now as we're hosting the show. We'll get the latest from Paul DiTino. Of course, he's there with his microphone talking to all the defensive coaches. 12:30 to 4:45 is practice. Hopefully the weather holds up and they can practice outside. If not, of course, they'll probably go inside. But 2:30 to 4:45 is practice. And then 4:45 to 6 o'clock is when locker room is open and available, and the players will be making themselves available to the media. The media will interview them. And, of course, you could tune in to Giants.com a little bit later on in the evening. All those interviews, I'm sure, will be posted. And we'll have an end-of-the-day report and much, much more on Giants. So that's the schedule for today.
In terms of the players that were banged up during the course of OTAs, Larry Donnell dealing with Achilles tendonitis. You have safety Nat Burhey, a calf injury. Robert Ayers, an ankle sprain. Demontre Moore, the shoulder. And then the double O with the leg injury. So those were the most notable injuries of note in terms of OTAs. And who knows, some of them may get back on the field today. Some of them may be sitting out as a precaution. I don't necessarily think it's a sign of perhaps what's going to happen down the road if some of these guys are held back to a certain extent.
Are you rolling with double O?
A lot of people have been calling him that.
Paul can actually pronounce it properly. He's really proud about that. So Paul DiTino will pronounce the entire last name. It's probably going to take me a good maybe half the season before I can really actually pronounce this name without really like giving it too much thought. So I'm rolling with double O. Are we on the same page here?
Well, I've been saying double O, but Odighizuwa has been fine for me as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, one way or the other, I can refer to him easily. It makes no difference. I like nicknames, like we referred to OC as OC. We barely called him Human Yora.
I kind of like Diggy.
Just call him OC. Diggy is something that could perhaps stick.
I don't know. I think Diggy is cool.
I think double O's been adopted because, if I recall, he was called that or referred to that in college to a significant degree. So
right.
That's why we're pretty much translating over to the NFL here until something else comes to fruition. And I'm sure some of his teammates will probably come up with something. I know the Giants.com, we did a feature on whether or not anybody could pronounce his name correctly, and the majority of the fan base failed in that department.
I was just going to say,
after he was drafted.
How did that work out for everyone?
That did not work out too well. So I'm sure the fan base has been sharpening their skills in terms of the pronunciations over the last few days. JPP is obviously another big prominent storyline entering minicamp. He was given the franchise tag. July 15th is the deadline to hammer out a long-term extension. If the long-term extension doesn't get hammered out, then the idea is you play out the rest of the season via the franchise tag. The defensive assistants are talking right now. We'll give you an update on what specifically they say a little bit later on in the program, and I'm sure some of them will address the status of JPP, so hang tight for that as well.
Look, do you blame him for not showing up? I don't. I mean, and it's not like there's a lot of guys in the NFL who have not signed their tender yet who do show up. I mean, number one, you've got to be very cautious in regard to injury. This is a guy that's, if he does sign his tender, is due to make $14+ million this one season. And if he does play with that signed tender, This is really a big opportunity for him to have a phenomenal season that hopefully he signs a lengthy long-term deal with the Giants or sets himself up in a position to make really a lot of money in the NFL if another team comes knocking. So you know, regardless whatever happens here with JPP, I'm not upset or disappointed if he doesn't show up to minicamp. Obviously, training camp, that's a whole other story. You know, I do believe that he will sign this tender if they don't come to a long-term contract, and I do believe that he will sign and play under a franchise tag, and what an unbelievable season that will be for him, because let's face it, when you go down and you look at guys in the NFL that are playing for that next deal, for that next contract, they typically have monster years, more added motivation, obviously because of the Benjamins, to play better. So I'm regardless of what happens, I'd be excited if the Giants lock him down to a long-term deal. If they don't, and he plays with the tender, as the franchise tag, he signs the tender and he plays with the franchise tag, then great. I think we're in store for a great JPP ride this season.
Well, a lot can happen between now and July 15th. We have about a month, and we've seen players in the past who have been given the franchise tag and do actually work out long-term deals right as the clock strikes midnight. You had Ryan Clady of the Denver Broncos, their offensive lineman in 2013. He hammered out a long-term deal right before the deadline. And then last year was Jimmy Graham, who hammered out a long-term deal with the Saints. He's now with the Seahawks. Drew Brees went up to the deadline to actually sign his franchise tag. So it's really early in the game to speculate, you know, what JP is ultimately going to play under in terms of the parameters of his contract. But obviously the goal is to get him into the facility, whether it be now, whether it be a training camp, and have him work on the new ins and outs of this defense. I know a lot of people on Twitter, I can see, are throwing out questions about, is this player going to take part in practice? Once again, practice does not start till 2:30, so there is no news on the front of who's going to be taking part, who's not going to be taking part. We're not going to be able to bring anything new on that front throughout the course of this program because, as I mentioned, they're not going to be on the field physically until 2:30 p.m. Eastern. But keep it locked to Giants.com. Obviously, throughout the day, we will update the injury status. Right now, it's just knowing the players that were dealing with some issues during the course of OTAs. But in terms of updating their status, that's premature right now. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll get to more specific tweets. And in terms of a general question on today's show, we want to hear from you. What position are you focusing on as the start of mandatory minicamp gets underway today? Is it the wide receiver depth chart? Is it how the offensive line is going to be constructed during the course of minicamp? An opportunity for you to weigh in on the phones via Twitter. Let's get the phones working here to start things up. We check in with Eric in North Dakota. Eric, welcome to the program. What do you have for us?
Good morning, Gina. Good morning, man.
Good morning.
I just got married last week.
Congratulations.
And my wife here just put she made a Groove cake, and she made it out of a New York Giants hat. And I would like to know, Lance, where can I send a picture to youguys.com?
How can you send a picture to us here at Giants.com? Well, the easiest thing I would say is probably to mail it to the Giants facility, and then one way or another we will certainly get a hold of it.
Okay. And my questions right now, it's a couple questions right now, Lance and Anita. If Jason Paul-Pierre holds out the contract, is there a way the Giants can get another veteran, like maybe Austin Minoru?
What do you mean pulls out of the contract? I'm not exactly sure
what you're talking about. In other words, if he doesn't want to, like, can he sign the contract, in other words? And if he doesn't want to sign the contract, can he still, can Giants look for another veteran?
Well. First things first. You know, I'm sure he's hoping to get a long-term deal before the 15th. If he doesn't, from what I understand, he will sign the tender and he will play under the tag. So, you know, I don't think Giants fans have to worry whether or not JPP will be on this squad. My gut is telling me, again, Giants aren't revealing anything. Nothing's been announced from the Giants organization. But what my gut's telling me, Lance, you tell me if you feel the same, that JPP will play this season. It just depends under what? With a new deal or under a tag? You know, listen, you know, if a player comes in and plays under that tag with that 1-year deal and has an opportunity to really come out and play amazing football, his stock rises. It is a risk reward. And we saw it with Joe Flacco the year that the Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl. Joe Flacco played under that just a 1 year deal left on his contract, and it was a risk, a high risk. If Joe Flacco would have gotten injured, do you think he would have been paid as $20 million quarterback a year? No. So there is a risk, but if you get through the season and you get through the season healthy and JPP puts up the type of sack numbers, let's say, you know, in the teens, high teens, really, he could write his own ticket in a sense. So he will play. The question mark is going to be, is it going to be under a long-term deal or is it going to be under the tag? I do believe JPP will be on this defensive line regular season game one.
So here's one for you guys, Lance and Anita. The wide receiver chart, how many receivers do you think we're going to have by the start of the season? Your opinion.
Well, they kept six last season, and if I do the math, I would say they're probably in line to keep six again, barring, obviously, a last-minute injury. There is a great deal of depth and substance in this roster group. In terms of the three that you know are going to be your top guys, you have Beckham, you have Randall, you have Cruz. Dwayne Harris is going to be in the rotation. He's also a key special teamer, and then after that, you have obviously a few options.
Corey Washington has really been turning some eyes.
Marcus Harris back from injury. He would be another player. And then Preston Parker last year too. So I think out of those three, you're probably going to keep two.
Now, really, the big question mark for me is because we've heard so many positive things about Victor Cruz in regard to how his recovery, OTAs, he's been running ghost routes. It'll be interesting to see what is Victor Cruz going to be doing the next 3 days here at minicamp. So all eyes, that's a big story as well. All eyes are going to be on him. And then what happens during training camp? Will he be involved in contact drills? How far along will he be? Will he start off on the pup? That's the really the worst case scenario in a sense, but there's still a possibility of it if he does start off on the pup, and then think about the importance of bringing in Harris from Dallas, because I think Dallas is no disrespect, I hate to use this phrase, but kind of a poor man's Victor Cruz in a sense, putting him in that slot position. So I think in regard to how many wide receivers they carry on this roster is going to be dictated on what they see from Victor Cruz, not the next 3 days, but throughout training camp. Agree?
Yeah, okay. I think that certainly there are plenty of options. You got it, Eric. Appreciate
Thank you for the phone call.
I mean, right now it's premature to determine whether or not Victor Cruz is going to start out on pup. That is obviously always an option based on the CBA rules. I wouldn't expect to see him do much more than he has been doing over the course of minicamp here, considering it's such a quick turnaround from OTAs. But, they've got a lot of depth. I mean, I think that's the important thing to emphasize on. You have options. That means you're going to have good battles in training camp so that you can get the best group of wide receivers to hang tight on the roster. And Dwayne Harris, who you mentioned, he's a versatile player because he's going to give you special teams, and he's also going to have the opportunity, which he didn't have much of in Dallas, to actually perhaps be that fourth or fifth wide receiver. Preston Parker, we saw what he could do when he had to fill in for players who were injured last season. Corey Washington has had a very strong string of OTAs, which is extremely encouraging. He's actually one of the players that I'm intrigued to see what he continues to do during minicamp, because he's come a long way, and Tom Coughlin even spoke about this last week, getting better as a special teams player, getting better in the classroom, and translating that to the football field. And Marcus Harris, if you recall, he was a name that jumped to the forefront last season, had a tremendous preseason. Unfortunately, he gets hurt right as they're finalizing the 53-man roster. He goes on IR. Now he's back in the mix. Can he get back to that form? That would also make the competition bring it up a notch. So right now I see 6 to 7 guys that easily can warrant the spot on this 53-man roster. Whether guys are hurt or not, there's still going to be plenty of battles, and that will certainly be a position to watch, not just over the next 3 days, but obviously as we make our way into training camp. We're getting some tweets in on a variety of position battles as well as specific players, so let's take a look at some of the tweets here. Ben at BigBen_Z, he says, I'm focused on the secondary. Since OTAs lack physical contact, DBs and safeties need to step it up and claim jobs. Well, there's not going to be much physicality during the next 3 days with minicamp because the rules are essentially the same. But I would agree with Ben and Ida. I think that is another position where there are question marks. And what I mean by question marks, not necessarily individual players, but, you know, who's going to assume specific roles within the secondary defensive scheme?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the safety position to me is the one that's most concerning. You know, everything that we're hearing about Landon Collins worked really, really hard, and since he's arrived here and has become not only a leader on the football field, but a vocal leader as well. Learning the free safety position, but is suited better as a box safety. And then what do? Cooper Taylor has definitely been given an opportunity. And not Burhe. I think you pointed this out at one point in time. We were hosting the show, and I'm looking at the safety position the same way we were kind of like looking at the tight end position last year. I think you made an excellent point there. I mean, who knew Larry Donnell would step up like he did, especially, I know he had peaks in valleys. I know it wasn't a lot of consistency throughout the season, but I don't think anyone could have anticipated the season that he did have, especially as strong as he started. So, that's going to be a very intriguing position. And I know we've talked about this before in regard to other players out there throughout the course of other teams' training camps possibly being cut. Could you know, the other starting safety on this team, on this roster, not be on this roster as of yet? Yeah, that's very well a chance, a shot. Who knows? That's pretty much the most intriguing position for me in regard to really not knowing, not having a good gauge in how good they can be.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Taking your phone calls till the top of the hour as we get you set for the 3-day minicamp. You were talking about the safety position. Right now it's been Cooper Taylor and Landon Collins. Those are the two in particular who have been lined up as the starters, at least throughout OTAs. Nat Burhe is a question mark right now. We don't know whether he's going to take part in minicamp because of that lingering calf injury. That will certainly be an opportunity for him to maybe get back in the mix if he's healthy enough to get out on the field. Then you have Josh Gordy, who's also been very active during the course of OTAs. He had a few interceptions. I know some of those highlights are up on Giants.com. In terms of the corner position, because obviously, Anita, when you look at the secondary spots, everybody focuses on safety since the two starters from last season are no longer on the team. Corners, probably the dialogue and the discussion is more about how does the depth chart round out? Because Prince is healthy, DRC is healthy. I mean, that's a big positive considering both players dealt with their fair share of injuries last season. But, you know, who assumes the slot? Who assumes that third, fourth spot on the cornerback depth chart? That is going to be another storyline to watch.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think I said this last time we were on. You know, there are some teams out there in the NFL that OTAs and training camp are really just kind of like a prerequisite. Like, all right, you know, just going through the motions, getting ready. You kind of know there's really no battles happening, right? There's really no big question marks in regard to positions for a number of teams. Not a lot, but a few teams in the NFL kind of, you kind of know what you get. This Giants team, there's a lot of question marks, which I think is really going to make OTAs and training camp and the preseason very, very interesting. It's going to make those preseason games where a lot of fans at times just really don't care because there's really not a battle happening and you kind of know what you're going to get and you can't wait for the regular season to start. This year is very different. Because there are a number of positions and a number of players that are going to be battling.
Specifically, who have the potential to start. I mean, I would agree with you. That's why a preseason game, an average training camp practice, could be the difference between whether or not you secure a starting job, more so than what we've witnessed and what we've talked about in previous seasons. Offensive line, nothing has been settled in terms of the depth chart for the offensive line. So that's one position as a whole. Forget individual positions, the grouping. Safety, we just talked about. Okay, corner, you're pretty much set. Linebacker, there's openings. There's nothing definitive in place in terms of the three starting linebackers. So I would throw that as another position right now that has some question marks. Defensive line, I think there's clarity, but that doesn't mean that somebody out of the woodworks can't assume a starting role. Jonathan Hankins, JPP, who's going to start opposite JPP? I think right now that's open. I would pencil in Robert Ayers, but Robert Ayers is dealing with an ankle injury. So who knows? Maybe somebody else emerges. That's another position. On the offensive side, maybe the offense is a little bit more set. You know, quarterback, you know what you're dealing with. Wide receivers, at least at the top of the depth chart, you know what you're dealing with. Running backs, you know the pieces. Maybe we don't necessarily know the order and how exactly they're going to be utilized. Tight ends for the most part. But, you know, as I mentioned, we're talking about three key positions on defense, Anita, and the offensive line where you have legitimate starting battles. And that is something that, you know, the Giants haven't necessarily had to deal with across the board in recent years.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously the most glaring for me offensively is that right tackle position. I know that Marshall Newhouse is going to be given every opportunity to show what he can do. I just don't know. Listen, you know, this isn't what he was brought in for. You know, players have a certain skill set, and that right tackle position is a very important position. My gut is telling me that I think if a guy like Jake Long, if a guy like Mathis doesn't end up on this roster, even if Mathis, because Mathis is a guard, I'll tell you what, I would not be shocked if Jeff Schwartz starts the season, regular season game one, at the right tackle position. I would not be surprised about that. So
he's got experience all over the place.
Yeah, and I think that Jeff Schwartz will play, spend some time over at the right tackle position during training camp. I don't know if necessarily during OTAs, but at training camp. And, you know, of course, unless they do bring in like a Jake Long or somebody like that. But only time will tell. We don't know. We don't know how that's all going to kind of pan out.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We'll head back to the phone lines real quick. I just want to mention, because a number of people are talking about this on Twitter, Eric in North Dakota, who called in earlier, who said he had a photo of his wedding festivities. If you want to send it in to us, actually, the fans recommended even a better route. Instead of mailing it in, you could put it up on Twitter or Instagram, use hashtag Giants Chat, and you could share it with everybody else. So that is a ideal recommendation. Let's go to Eggsy, who is all the way in London. Eggsy, what's happening?
Oh, wow.
Eggsy, are you there? All right, looks like we may have lost Eggsy. Certainly appreciate our fans from overseas chiming in. Let's try John in Palm Beach. John, what's happening?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Good afternoon to you.
I just got back to New York. I'm a snowbird. I wanted a comment, an editorial comment, really, on the free agency, because there's been a lot of comments that, well, maybe it wasn't the best. Other people did a better job. We got high-profile people. I think that the free agency this year was pretty good from the perspective of filling real needs. You take Vereen, absolutely a gem of a pick. Huh? He's going to be great out of the backfield as a pass catcher and a runner. You take Harris. We have had a real problem with special teams. He's going to fill in nicely. He may be a receiver and so forth. You can go down the line, and there's some intriguing picks that fill voids that we needed, okay? And that the same goes for some of the undrafted players that were picked. I particularly like this kid from Purdue who has blazing speed. I think he's, you know, in the 4-3 category. While he probably won't make the team, I certainly hope that he fills a spot on the
practice squad you're referring to.
Yeah,
you're referring to Akeem Hunt, the running back.
Yeah, Akeem Hunt. Yeah, he's really very. I watched him play at Purdue, and he's really, really a really sound, good football player. I was wondering about your comments on what you think about free agency.
Well,
now we've done.
I mean, I would agree with you, John. I think that they didn't necessarily look to make a big splash. And remember, teams that win the free agency battle by bringing in all the big names don't always win a Super Bowl. Doesn't necessarily go hand in hand. I think they did a nice job of rounding out the roster and plugging in players who can certainly make a role and have versatility. To me, that's the big theme of the offseason, was bringing in players who don't just fit into one position. You know, Shane Vereen, you mentioned some of his facets of his game. I would also throw in pass protection. He's very good on third down and helping to protect the quarterback. That's something that gets overlooked. Dwayne Harris, you're right, special teams, but also can be a wide receiver, just hasn't had the opportunity when he was with the Dallas Cowboys. JT Thomas, the linebacker who they brought in from the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, versatility to play the outside, also has experience playing the middle. So those three players that I just threw out, you don't just necessarily throw them in one spot. I think you can move them around. That, to me, was the biggest theme of free agency.
I certainly agree with that. And I think we also picked up a couple of intriguing tight ends in the process. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of them makes the team, and certainly maybe one of them makes the practice squad.
Well, they did bring in a number of tight ends. Matt Lacoste, the undrafted rookie out of Illinois, he'd be one to watch. And then you have a number of players that also were in camp last year. Adrian Robinson trying to continue with respect to his development. Daniel Fells was backing up Larry Donnell last season. He's back as well. And Will Tye, the local product out of Stony Brook, who is a big presence, we'll see whether or not he can carve out a role for himself.
Well, good. I thank you very much. I enjoy your program. Have a great day.
You as well.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you. For me, in regard to the free agents coming in, I know I've been really, really big on JT Thomas. I'm really excited to see what he can do with this linebacking core. But you know, and also you know what you get with Shane Vereen. I gauging kind of like the fan reaction and in what has been tweeted to me and whatnot. I think fans are probably more excited about the Shane Vereen signing than any free agent signing that the Giants made this offseason. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think if you look at those three players, let's focus on those three. The reason I would agree with you is Vereen's got more of a track record than any of the other two. You know, Dwayne Harris has been great on special teams, but you know, people are questioning whether or not he can be a consistent wide receiver. He wasn't really given the opportunity in Dallas. JT Thomas, limited starting experience because he basically was thrown into the mix once Paul Posluszny went down last season due to an injury, and prior to that, moved around and also hasn't been in the league a great deal of time, too. I think we need to put things in perspective. Vereen, okay, he was with New England, the team that won the Super Bowl. We've seen his production in terms of numbers as a receiver and a running back. So, you know, people always go in the direction of comfort. There's comfort in Shane Vereen because you know Shane Vereen has, over the last few years, put up specific numbers. So that's why I think most people would feel comfortable, you're right, with Vereen as opposed to maybe some of these other free agents.
And keep in mind, you know, a player has a certain role with one team and one organization, and then they go to another organization, and their role might expand. Their role might get bigger. Their role might get better. They might have a better opportunity because they fit that system or they fit that scheme better that accentuates the skill set that they're bringing to the organization. And I think that's going to be big and key, not only for JT Thomas, but for Shane Vereen as well.
Let's head back to Twitter before we head back to the phone lines. A number of people weighing in on what positions to watch, the depth chart, and so forth. Big Dash 07088 at ColeWiss88. I feel better about the safeties than the backup cornerback position. Guys like Hosley need to prove themselves this offseason, referring to Jayron Hosley, who has dealt with injuries during the course of the season, and he's probably one of the guys that could push Tremaine McBride in that slot position, but Big Dash is correct. I mean, that's one of the guys that's in that show-me type of position in terms of taking advantage of the opportunity that is presented to him during minicamp, during OTAs, during training camp, and trying to move forward in his progression, also proving that he can remain durable. So I would agree. Hosley is certainly one of the players to watch in the back end of the depth chart with respect to the cornerback spot. Let's take a look at some other tweets that are coming in. Another one from Big Dash on the topic of Akeem Hunt, who the last caller weighed in on, the running back out of Purdue, one of the undrafted players signed. I like Hunt a lot. I hope there's a way to squeeze him on the 53. Won't make it to the practice squad is my guess. Well, this is the way you got to look at the running back position. They kept three last year, Anita. And that's not including the fullback. The fullback was the fourth back, but that was a separate position. Right now, let's say they go in the same direction. They keep three running backs. You've got your three. You got Jennings, you got Williams, and you have Vereen. So what are the chances that a fourth running back would make the team like when Michael Cox was able to secure a spot? Right now, I would say it's going to be tough. That doesn't mean it's impossible. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but if you were to play the numbers game, I think there's other positions, as it stands right now, and it could change, that I would want to keep more depth at, Anita, than necessarily a fourth running back.
Yeah, offensive line be one of them.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think out loud here. The wide receiver position, I mean, we could be as optimistic as we possibly can be about Victor Cruz, but we just don't know. So that might be key there as well, maybe keeping one more wide receiver on the roster. Obviously, the DB position, the defensive line position. Yeah, but I'd say maybe if there was one position that, you know, come that last day of cuts, that, you know, you've got some guys on the line and you're kind of like, what am I going to do? And you know, everybody's talent level, talent skill is it the same skill set? You know, I think you got to go offensive line, especially with what happened last season and how important that offensive line, I think, is going to be. Not that it's important every year, but really how important that it is heading into this season.
Well, if you have a number of players that are equal using your hypothetical setup, then I think, and this is what you were touching on, you go where you need depth at a position as opposed to just keeping a player for the sake of keeping a player.
Exactly.
Because you need to protect yourself from injuries, which unfortunately has been something that the Giants have had to deal with over the last few seasons. Let's head back to the phone lines. Anita Marks, Lance Meadow with you here on this Tuesday edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, day one of rookie minicamp. Eggsy is in London. We got him back on the line. Eggsy, what's happening?
Oh, hello. Yeah, sorry for the disconnection.
Not a problem. Listen, it's great to hear from you. I'm glad that you're following the team from afar.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the great weather here until it all goes down on Saturday when it starts raining. Anyway, who do you think has been the most improved player in the OTAs?
That's a great question. Most improved player during OTAs. I'm going to throw out Corey Washington. He's the first one that comes to mind, Eggsy, mainly because I'm not just going based on talk. We're seeing it. He's been on the field. He's been extremely productive. He's made plays consistently during OTAs. And then in addition to that, the coaching staff has said that in the classroom, he's also improved. So he's probably the first player that comes to mind. DRC has stood out to me mainly because he's healthy. I wouldn't necessarily classify him, though, as the most improved player.
And what happened to JPP? How come he hasn't been in OTAs?
Well, he's been franchise tagged, so he needs to sign that tender by July 15th. Him and the Giants organization have an opportunity to work out a long-term deal up until July 15th. Once that July 15th date hits, then no deal really can be made until next season. So that's where it's at right now is that the JPP camp is talking to the Giants camp and they're trying to work out a long-term deal.
Because whenever I go on Instagram, I always see the videos of him working out and doing a lot of exercise.
Yeah, he's been training at home with his trainer and working really hard, and I think he's been making a real effort in posting those. So folks out there, fans and whatnot, know how serious he is about still being in shape and getting in shape for the season, even though he's not here at the facility.
Yeah, well, that was good to know. Thank you for your time.
You got it, Eggsy. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for following the team all the way in
London. I love the accent.
Yes, absolutely. And he's talking about the weather. We're actually going to get rain here over potentially the next few days. So it's similar in terms of what's happening across the pond. Will is in Atlanta. Will, what's happening?
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Long-time Giants fan. I saw on television the YA Till get bloodied up by the Chicago Bears back in 1963. So I've been a fan for a long time.
Well, you'd give Paul DeTino then some competition, which is nice to hear.
Well, I may not know all the trivia, but I've been a fan a long time. Anyway, the reason I'm calling is I'm in the Atlanta area, and in the front page of the sports section of the local paper here, it's got a story about the Falcons releasing their left tackle, Sam Baker.
Yeah.
He's been injured a good bit, but when he plays, he's not a bad player. And he certainly, if he was healthy, he certainly could play right tackle for the Giants. What do you guys think? Do you think the Giants are that's a blip on their radar at all?
Well, I think you really answered your own question, Will, in terms of his injury history. And forget what he happened in the past. He has yet to practice with the Falcons because he's still recovering from that torn patella tendon that, if you recall, he suffered last preseason. And then the year before, he was limited to 4 games because he suffered a torn patella tendon to the opposite knee. So we're talking about in the last 2 seasons combined, Sam Baker has played in 4 games. And then even before that, over the course of his career, he's only played in a full 16-game slate twice. And that was when he was a first-round pick in 2008. So that's the ballpark time frame you're looking at. I would never rule anything out because the Giants have been on the record. They did bring in Jake Long, and Jake Long is also dealing with some injury history. He came, he visited the facility. Tom Coughlin addressed that. Could they toy with perhaps looking at Sam Baker? It's a possibility, but until he proves he's fully healthy, I would say right now it's probably a long shot.
Yeah, that's true. He's not fully healthy yet, but you know, sometimes you're diamond in the rough there. You bring him in, take a look at him, and if you think he's going to come around this year, I mean, if he is healthy, if you know, sometime during the year, he'd be a great addition for basically a low cost.
Well, and he's also had experience, as you alluded to, on both tackle spots, because what he was actually replaced by Jake Matthews last year. He was supposed to be their left tackle. Matthews, who they brought in via the draft, started at right. They wound up switching because of injuries, but Baker earlier in his career didn't necessarily start out at a left tackle. So there's versatility there. It really depends, though, on whether or not a player is fully healthy, because at the end of the day, Will, you know, you got to be on the field to be productive. If you can't be on the field, you're not really bringing much to the table at this point.
Right. Let's say that they sign somebody like him. Could they sign him and then put him on, I don't know, the PUP list or something like that, just to keep him around until he is healthy? Is that possible?
You can put a player on the PUP list, but keep in mind, I mean, there's a number of other players that they may have to put on the PUP list, too, who are presently on the roster. If you want to do that, if you think that a player can get healthy, which is, I guess, what you're speculating, let's say in week 5 or week 6, so you bring him in, he learns the classroom stuff, he can't get on the field, you put him on PUP, maybe you activate him later on. It's a possibility, but I think that the Giants, if they had a choice, and once again, I don't know anything internal knowledge. I'm just going based on generics and what I've seen in the NFL. You want guys, and you're going to retain players who are going to be on the field, not just learning the classroom stuff.
Right, right, right. But being as thin as we are on the offensive line, and, you know, anything that's a possibility might be worthwhile. Anyway, thanks for your time. That's about all I had. Good job, and I enjoyed listening to you guys.
I will appreciate the phone call. You have to explore always the options. I don't think you can rule anything out. Evan Mathis is out there, too, and you alluded to his name earlier in the program.
Right, but again, you know, he's a guard, so, you know, what does that leave you? Like I said, I do believe that there is a slight chance that Jeff Schwartz plays tackle regular season game one. We'll see how it all pans out.
And they did bring in a veteran in Marshall Newhouse who has starting experience, has been a backup. Right now, he's been on the field. Now, I always go back to the basis. If you're going to bring in a player, it's probably better to do it sooner than later, Anita, especially since that player, whether it be a veteran or rookie, you got to learn a new offense. And if you bring in a player, let's say, 2 weeks before the start of the regular season, you're going to need that period of time where they're actually going to have to catch up. Case in point, remember, Adam Snyder was brought in last year. Adam Snyder joined the team, but they were already in the thick of the season. So, you know, he had some time where he needed to actually adjust to the offense. You don't bring in a veteran and then blink of the eye, all of a sudden you insert them into the starting lineup. So that's something else that I think needs to be kept in mind. Let's head back to the phone lines. We check in with Dave in the Outer Banks. Dave, what's happening?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, Dave. What's happening with you? What do you got?
Good. Hey, just first thing, I want to thank you guys very much for your draft coverage this year. I thought it was... It was really exceptional. Really kept the fans engaged. I download the podcast all the time, and I really kept the light on during a quiet time. So great job with that. But I had a question for you guys about safety position and focusing on last year's play. It's kind of unusual that for a position, especially with the Giants, that you know your first, second, and third safety are all off the roster. How bad do you think the safety play was last year compared to, you know, now we have a bunch of young players and maybe one veteran? How bad was it last year compared to what we're looking at with all these new players coming in this year?
I don't think it was bad. I mean, Antrel Roll, you know, I think he was very good with his tenure here with the Giants. As we know, he's no longer here. He's with the Bears. I want to say, what, the $3 million a year? It's a contract
that he got
with them. And then Stevie Brown is now in Houston. So, you know, I think it's just a changing of the guard in regard to going younger at the safety position. I don't think the safety position was so bad last year with who they had. I just think it's a matter of just an organization wanting to go younger, and sure enough, that's what they're doing.
quick follow-up on the question on that. Bennett Jackson, I know that he was drafted as a cornerback to get out of Notre Dame, but he looked more like a safety with his body type. And I heard earlier in the rookie camp that he was playing safety. I haven't heard anything about him since, anything in any of the OTAs. What have you guys been seeing or hearing about him on the field? How's he been looking?
You know, it's a great point to make. It's something that Tom Coughlin has alluded to, that they want to give him an opportunity to see, you know, what he looks like at that position in Spags' defense. And so, you know, hopefully we'll see a lot of that the next 3 days. And we could definitely fill you in and comment on that, especially during training camp. I think he will be given an opportunity. It's something, again, Tom Coughlin hasn't mentioned just once, but actually a few times, that he wants to give Jackson an opportunity. You see what he can do at the safety position. So all eyes will be on that as well.
They moved him to safety all the way back at rookie minicamp because he took part in that. So he has been making the transition for quite some time. He's been in the mix. Gordy's been in the mix. And then obviously some of the young guys like Burhey and Cooper Taylor in addition to Landon Collins. So, you know, there's a nice young nucleus, and I would include Bennett Jackson in that young nucleus. Remember, he was injured all of last season. So there's going to be a great deal of competition over these next 3 days into training camp because there's jobs to be won. Nobody has locked down anything at that position, not even Landon Collins. Tom Coughlin will be the first one to tell you players have to earn their positions, whether you're a first-round pick, whether you're a second-round pick, whether we traded every asset possibly in the franchise for you, it makes no difference.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, Dave. Appreciate the phone call. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. A number of tweets coming in all across the board on various positions. So let's work in some tweets as we continue to take you along till the top of the hour. We'll get to more of your phone calls in a second. I know a lot of people weighing in on different positions. A couple of people excited about Shane Vereen. Ricker81 at D_Ricker81. I am excited about Vereen because we should finally be able to execute a screen pass, which obviously is going to be something that he should help bring to the table in terms of his play throughout the course of this season. Also, Jazzy_JDog. Vereen is a playmaker. That is why people are excited. We were obviously talking about the running back position a little bit earlier on. And Kobe LeBron at Toby Gleish looks at Akeem Hunt as perhaps a great return personnel to add to the mix as well. So that is something, obviously, to keep close tabs on as we take you closer to preseason. Well, we mentioned the defensive assistants, spoke to the media a little bit earlier today. Paul Dottino was all over that, so we bring in Paul Dottino on the opposite end of the facility right now from where we are. Paul, what's happening?
Hey, guys, I was just on hold waiting to win those Rolling Stones tickets. I don't know what's going on here with the Giants. I mean, come on now.
Well, unfortunately, you're caller number 5. We were waiting for caller number 7, so I'm sorry to break the bad news to you, Paul.
Oh, my goodness. You can't pull any strings for me, Lance.
No, I don't know about that.
But seriously, Spags had some interesting things to say that I think the fans are going to be pretty shaken up about. You know, we know him to be a 4-3 guy. He said one of the things he learned with the Ravens, and Anita, you can address this, you know, they play a lot of 3-4. And he said one of the differences you may see from the 2007 Giants D that he's going to bring to this defense is he's going to take some of the things that he learned in Baltimore. He said it was an aggressive defense. It was an outstanding defense, very, very high caliber. And he wouldn't tell us what it was, but he did say there were definitely some nuggets, some crumbs that he's lifted from the Ravens that he's going to sprinkle in here. So I thought that's the first time I've heard that before from him, and it certainly goes against the grain of him being a typical 4-3 guy. And then the other thing that he mentioned, and we can talk about a couple of the other positions in a moment, was that he's very concerned about the inexperience at safety because he said those guys, and this is a very true statement, he said those guys are the most important guys on the field because everybody relies on him. The other 9 must trust those 2 safeties in the lineup. And so we've talked about that before. He values his safeties very highly. They are as much, if not more, a part of his defense than the middle linebacker is. So that's really what we got out of Spags. And, of course, he's hoping that JPP is going to be here. At the moment, he's not. But there's been a lot of communication going on.
Well, just a comment in regard to the Ravens. You know, the Ravens and on the defensive side of the ball has definitely created some of the best defensive coordinators / head coaches with that defensive mentality in the NFL, i.e. Rex Ryan, who's, some would argue, not a great head coach, but definitely a phenomenal defensive coordinator. And one thing in the years that I was in Baltimore is that never once in the 4 years that I was there, Paul, did a defensive coordinator come in and say, okay, scratch what you guys have done in the past. We're starting from scratch. I'm gonna implement an entirely new defense. So it's kind of a defense that has been very well respected and has developed and developed and developed and maybe tweaked, but never redone in Baltimore. And so, you know, so I would imagine that there were a number of things that Spags was able to walk away from Baltimore with. I guess just to make it more clear, Paul, after the conversation you had with Spags, are you telling us that we're going to see some 3-4 this year in this defense?
I wouldn't be surprised if on occasion in the sub package we see something along those lines. He wasn't specific at all, and I think that was intentional. But you know, he said they basically came out of that 3-4 philosophy, and he made no bones about that he is going to try to take some stuff. And he said flat out, it was a totally different scheme and a totally different defense than anything that I was used to, whether I was with the Giants, the Eagles before that, St. Louis, New Orleans. And if you think about it, it's absolutely true. That was a totally different D. So it shows one thing about Spags, and we've talked about this too, his adaptability. And he's not afraid to make changes if he thinks it's going to be something that'll help.
Well, Paul, if they do show some 3-4 looks, obviously that means there would be more of an emphasis on this linebacker core, which, you know, other than John Beeson, we really don't know where everybody else is going to line up. What did they say, whether it be the positional coaches or Spags, on how the linebackers have been progressing, especially a guy like JT Thomas?
Now, you know, the thing they're interested about with Thomas is his speed and his athleticism, and they think they can get him moving around all over the field. And I think that's part of what we're going to see with those linebackers. I suspect, and guys, it's strictly a hunch, but from listening to the fact that, you know, the Giants, we know they like to play left-right safety, not your typical free and strong, I suspect we're going to see a lot of flopping in those backers. I wouldn't be surprised if Kennard is playing a lot of strong, and then all of a sudden he's playing weak on a couple of plays. I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing happens with JT Thomas. Anita's been high on Thomas. I understand that. He's played a lot of positions in Jacksonville. I think the Giants are going to use that to their advantage. And I think what you're going to see is, remember when Banks and Taylor were here back in the 80s? They'd flop those guys. I got a hunch we're going to see some of that flopping. Now, we'll be out on the field momentarily today, and let's see if that happens out there. And if it doesn't happen now, maybe it's going to happen in August. But that's the kind of vibe I'm getting. And Spags is not going to be afraid to do that stuff.
Before we let you go, Paul, any news on JPP? I know you mentioned that Spags, they're hoping he does show up. I know Robert Nunn, though, the defensive line coach, specifically talked about some of the interaction he had with JPP throughout the course of the offseason.
He said he's been in touch with JPP throughout the offseason, says he's in the right frame of mind. He thinks he's got a good grasp of the defense. He said he has fed him a whole bunch of stuff that he's been studying. He said he actually met with JPP here at the facility for 4 or 5 days. He said maybe it was even 6 or 7. Most of those were earlier during the offseason program. In his estimation, he said as long as he gets here at the beginning of training camp, I think if he's not 100% ready for the first game, he's going to be very close. So while, you know, he's not exactly right up to speed, there's no panic on him in terms of the business aspect of not being here right now. The only other couple of notes I did want to mention to you, still the nickel situation, totally undecided. Defensive backs coach Tim Watson talking about how everything's wide open there. They're just doing everything they can to get as many looks from as many players as they can. I should also mention Coach Merritt talking about the safeties, says the inexperience, again, is a concern, but that he's really happy with the guys and that they're all very smart. Every guy they're trying back there is extremely high in football intelligence, and they're great with the bookwork. Collins, he said, is having some trouble with angles and depth perception, and he does double clutch on the ball, and they want to kind of fix that and clean that up. Did mention Bennett Jackson, and that's the final thing I want to say to you guys, said his recognition has been a little bit behind because it's still a new position for him, but that physically he is over the microfracture knee surgery. He looks terrific. They love his stop and go. They love his ability to backpedal. He's looking very sharp, and I might add special teams coach Tom Quinn, also high on Bennett Jackson on special teams. Guys, you know me well enough to know when you hear that kind of thing, your eyes start lighting up, because when coaches start glowing about you on specials, it gives you a good chance to make the 53.
Paul, last question, at least for me, is Devon Kennard. I know that the four of us, and of course I'm referring to Schmelk, and a number of fans have some big, hefty expectations for him going into this season. You know, no longer a rookie, and on top of that, Spags and how Spags could utilize him. Did Spags or any of the defensive coaches talk about Devon Kennard, what their expectations are for him this season?
Yeah, they're expecting him to take that next step. Coach Jim Herman, the linebackers coach, did address him. They love his book work. They love his work ethic, and they see no reason for him not to build off of what he did last December. Now, again, no one's being very specific about how they're going to change roles or how additional roles are going to be piled onto some of these guys. I'm just getting the feeling, the way his eyes light up when he talks about him, I got the feeling they're going to do some special things with Kennard. He's not just going to sit back there and be, okay, you're going to be the strong side 4-3 backer. I'm getting a vibe here. They're going to move him around. They're going to use him in the blitz package. He's going to be a guy that I just sense impact all over it. I don't know, Anita. Maybe I'm imagining things, but my spidey sense is tingling.
Paul, we got the Nike 5 run in this morning. I know there was some debate and question marks last night because of the weather patterns. Before we leave you, we just wanted to get confirmation on that front.
Oh, absolutely. I was out there at 8:30. Are you kidding me?
All right. Hey, just wanted to make sure that the Giants faithful is aware of your ins and outs.
You threatened that I wouldn't be out there before 9. You knew I had to beat that, didn't you?
Of course. Absolutely. Well, I knew you were studying the weather patterns last night. I just wanted to make sure. That's all. Haven't seen you yet today. All right, Paul.
I'll see you in practice.
You got it. Appreciate the time and the insight, Paul.
Begin practice today, 2:30 to 4:45, and then from 4:45, Tom Coughlin will address the media then. Locker room will be open from 5 to 6 p.m., and all those interviews will be posted on Giants.com a little bit later on this evening if you want to definitely tune into those.
We'll get to more of your tweets. Let's head back to the phone lines, and a number of people want to weigh in also on many different Giants topics. Ed is in Rochester. Ed, what's happening?
Good afternoon, everybody. Great show again.
Appreciate that, Ed. What do you have for us?
Wise, I know we've had a lot of passionate calls about Corey Washington. Obviously, I was one of them a couple weeks ago. I just wanted to make an observation. I was able to catch the 6 minutes of the town hall meeting with the season ticket holders, which I thought was a really good thing. And Jerry was asked about some of the younger players on the team. And I think, if I remember correctly, he mentioned Bromley, Hankins, and Corey Washington is, and Devin Kennard, and Corey Washington is some of our most exciting young players. So I just thought that was a really neat thing for our GM to mention Corey in that limelight. You could put it on your wall, I believe. I'm going to say, Ed Rochester says Corey Washington's on the roster again this year. So I wanted to get your feedback on what you thought about that comment.
Well, I think he's going to have a number of players that are going to compete for his job, which should bring out the best in Corey Washington. And right now, he is certainly helping his cause because he is outperforming just about everybody, considering there's a couple of players that are banged up in the receiving corps. So as long as he continues to take advantage of his opportunities, Ed, and most important, similar to what Paul just said about Bennett Jackson, how he is on the radar because of his special teams play, Corey Washington needs to also continue to progress in that department. If he can do both of those things that I mentioned, continue to stand out, make plays during training camp, solidify his role on special teams, I don't think it's a stretch for what you just said for him to make the 53.
And I'll go one step further. I have no doubt that Corey Washington is going to make this roster this year. Call me crazy, maybe a little bit more in believing in him and his talents than other people across the board. I do believe my question mark for Corey Washington this year isn't if he makes this roster. My question mark for Corey Washington this year is, can he translate? Can he take what we see at practice? Can he take what we see during the preseason and play that style of football during the regular season. We didn't see it last year. And granted, yes, some people say, well, he didn't get an opportunity to do it. I want to see what Corey Washington can do for this organization in the regular season. I'm not concerned about the preseason.
Yeah. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on, Ed. What else you got?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And I think, you know, even on top of that, I want to see, obviously, I'm on the field at some point if he earns it, obviously. When Flax was here, I always liked a big receiver. And just my observation, just the fact that the GM mentioned his name specifically at that town hall, I think holds a lot for the young man.
Well, when front office executives are taking notice of your play, Ed, I would agree with you. That means that you're doing something right. And as long as he continues to be a consistent weapon this offseason, he's going to put himself in a very strong position to make the 53. But, you know, I always say we don't know what's going to happen moving forward. There's always surprises. For example, you know, Israel Adonijé comes in last training camp, played very good in the preseason. Most people, including myself, figured he's probably solidified himself a roster spot. Kerry Wynn, relatively quiet in those preseason games. Made noise in practice. Coaches liked what they saw out of him. He got the roster spot over Israel Adonijé. Could we see another wide receiver do something similar?
Sure.
Perhaps. I mean, that's the only reason why I'm cautious, and I don't make bold predictions right now that this guy's definitely going to be on the roster, because whenever you're talking about the back end of the depth chart, and nobody is surpassing Randall Cruz and Beckham. I mean, I think we can state the obvious here.
Right.
That means that it is a guessing game, as far as I'm concerned, for position 5, 6, 7,
exactly.
In terms of the ranking of the wide receivers.
Yeah, to your point, when I was doing my mock roster last year, I had a Adonijé on it, and Wynn came out of nowhere. So you got a good point, and I just hope that the young man continues moving forward with his progress. So not only does he make the team, I'd love to see him get on the field when Apple calls. But thank you for taking my call.
You got it, Ed. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Number of people weighing in on Twitter as well. Before we close up the show, let's get to a few tweets on a variety of different topics, because we certainly have covered just about every facet of this roster. I know Big Dash wanted to emphasize the fact, because you were talking about Devon Kennard, Anita, that earlier this offseason he did make the bold prediction that he thinks Kennard is going to get double-digit sacks this season. That is how optimistic he is about the linebackers' play.
Hey, I like it. I like it. And again, it's not questioning his talent or his ability. The biggest question is how does Spags utilize Devon Kennard in this defense? If Spags puts him in a situation to be able to go out and get those sacks, which I think he will, I'm with you. I think the sky's the limit for this young man.
Ben at BigBen_Z, Paul brought up that Spags alluded to the fact that maybe the Giants will show some 3-4 looks. Ben's reaction, I love that 3-4 talk. Both defenses have advantages, but adapting and doing a hybrid 4-3-3-4 shows innovation and growth. The big question mark with respect to that 3-4 would be, you know, where do the linebackers play out? And will maybe a fourth linebacker emerge to assume perhaps a bigger role in this defense? That's why I say linebacker in addition to offensive line and safety, those are certainly three positions that there are jobs to be won, statements to be made if you want to expand it even further. Let's continue to look through some of the tweets. I know a number of fans, chatting in on the discussion. Jamie Gastelum Acost, if I pronounce that correctly. I think actually this is one of our Giants fans
just
from
go
Mexico,
with Jamie. Just go
if
with
I'm
Jamie.
Correct. I know this may be annoying, but how are Cruz and Odell recovering in terms of their injuries? Well, Anita, you mentioned about Victor Cruz that he has been running some routes on the side, and he even posted some video on social media, so he's making progression.
Look, he looks great. He's running crisp, great routes. He says he feels great. There's been no setback. All that's fantastic. But it changes once these guys put the pads on. Once these guys put the pads on and he's trying to get off the line and he's getting bumped and, you know, there's a strong safety that's in his face that's trying to not let him get off the line out of the slot position and he has to cut and, you know, that's really where the question mark is going to come. Is, you know, is he really ready at that point in time? It's apples and oranges. It's night and day. And so we really won't know about Victor Cruz until training camp, actually, even until maybe, you know, preseason games. If, of course, he's able to suit up and play in the preseason games. Again, I will not be shocked if he starts up on the PUP. I won't be shocked. I pray to God it doesn't happen. I'm just saying, I won't be shocked.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I'm trying to think of another wide receiver, maybe in terms of comparison, not to the significance of the injury, but if you recall, Akeem Nicks missed some time a few years back in training camp, and then they suited him up for that last preseason game just to get his feet wet, just to get some work underneath him. Maybe that could be a situation that plays out for Victor Cruz, assuming that obviously he makes enough progress in his development and feels confident enough that he can get out there and work at a preseason contest. In terms of Odell Beckham, I'll emphasize what we talked about at the beginning of the show. Anita, as she mentioned, practice doesn't start till 2:30, so there really is no update on the injury front for any of the players that were dealing with some issues during the course of OTAs. We'll know a little bit later on. Obviously, stay locked to us on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. The dialogue will continue there, and also on Giants.com, the website. We'll have all full interviews posted, all the defensive assistants that spoke. That'll be up on the site later today. When the players and Tom Coughlin address the media, that will be up on the site, and we'll also have full wraps and recaps of what took place during the course of practice as well as today.
And you and I are back tomorrow, right?
Paul is back with you tomorrow. I'm back on Thursday.
Oh, because you guys keep on flipping,
correct,
flip-flopping that date on me.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll be back with Paul tomorrow, and so we will have a ton of information update in regard to what happened at practice later on this afternoon. Again, players being made available later on this evening, so we'll have a lot of really great new fresh information for you tomorrow. Make sure you return to Big Blue Kickoff Live at high noon.
A busy 3 days. You can hear Big Blue Kickoff Live and watch it each and every weekday here at noon Eastern. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!